Hey, Upper East Siders, and welcome back to another episode of the Lonely Boys Podcast. My name is Matt. I am one of your titular Lonely Boys, and I'm here to break down Season 1, Episode 1, the first episode of the Gossip Girl reboot, Just Another Girl on MTA.
Yay.
I'm not here by myself. I am here with someone who routinely tells Nicole, "No, you can think about him, right?" It's Brendan Ruppel.
Hello, I'm your co-host, of course, the Creepy Uncle of Podcasting, a.k.a. Uncle Cream. Hi, Diddle Auto Combination, recording live as always from the crematorium. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Cream Weekly, Dr. Officer Cream reporting for duty. Cream, yes, Cream.
Yes, Cream.
ACAB, of course, all creams are bastards. I'm your OGC, the original gangsta Cream.
You done with OGC?
Yeah, you know me. And Cream rules everything around me. Cream.
Cream.
Who do you think I'm allowing her to think about?
Pete, obviously.
Obviously, Pete. Obviously. And Pete, this is perfect for you because you tune out about right now anyway. So you probably heard the joke about you.
This.
And
yeah,
by joke,
yeah.
I mean the real thing.
The truth, yeah.
The truth.
yeah. I, of
Peace bang
of
all
course,
of our wives.
I immediately.
Yeah. If you got a wife in Lyndhurst, you better watch it. Pete's coming.
That's
for
what him. I've heard. but Brendan's the only one okay with it. He's the only one saying, yeah, you know, it's fine if you think of
I just want Pete to find love.
Yeah. And he is with everyone's wives.
Yeah, if you get a text from Pete that says, hey, love, you're in trouble.
Just know that it's on. Just know it's that on. It's about to be on. Hey, love. little inside joke humor.
Little World Series week humor.
Speaking of, we don't talk about the World Series.
World Series election. Oh, my God. What a week.
Oh, man. What a week. What a week. Yeah, it's by the time people are hearing this, the election day will have been over. We still might not know the results, but.
Do we do a Doughboys right now? Do we call it? Do we call it right now?
So, of course, by now, Kamala will be president. Of course, by now, RFK Jr. will be president.
Perfect.
What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say, speaking of Pete, his most recent thing in the group chat is he is taking credit for, he has recently discovered Gracie Abrams. He says, I know this new artist that no one's talking about. I found her. Gracie Abrams. I told him that I think everyone already knows about her. I mean, she opened for Taylor Swift last year. And he's like, no, it was me. I found her.
Good for him. Thanks, Pete.
Good for
Thanks
him.
For the help.
If you're listening Music to Savant, Gracie Pete. Abrams, everyone, make sure you reach out to Pete and thank him.
Pete was a great DJ during the last inning of the World Series, too. He was giving all the batters yes. unsolicited walk-up songs.
Yes, he was. So, I guess we have a new show to talk about. New show, similar to the old show.
Yeah. I wish we didn't have to do this show. I'll say it at the top. I hope we don't make it through this.
First thoughts, first impressions, now that you've seen one episode, which, you know, if this was the original Gossip Girl, it would have been 40 minutes, but this was a healthy 60 minutes here on HBO Max. It is going to take me, you know, fortnights to finish these notes every time I have to watch an episode here.
Yeah. I fell asleep during part of this episode. I had to ask Nicole for help with. I don't know if, even know if we'll get to it in this particular episode, but the fight scene between the two sisters, I dozed off and came back to, and was like, I don't really know why they were fighting, but I don't know if I would have known why they were fighting if I was awake either, because she didn't really have a good answer for me when I came back to. It was long, and it's not just because it was the opening episode. I see the runtimes for the other ones, and they're like over 50 minutes always.
Oh, so yeah, baby.
It's a long show. We have, 21 more episodes to go?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. The plots in the old series were convoluted as well, and sometimes we couldn't follow them. But I do feel like we're going to be missing a lot here. Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage are like executive producers here, obviously, but they are not
their
the showrunners. So yeah, they're not going to be in charge of everything. So, we'll see how the new showrunners can steady the waters here. But
yeah, I think my biggest issues are more with like the plots that are very forward facing. Like, I'm sure your biggest gripe with this is also the way they use Gossip Girl and being the teachers.
I don't love it. I definitely don't love it.
At first I was like, why are you talking to the teacher so much? And then like, there's a group of teachers that are Gossip Girl.
Our gossip.
This is half the show.
Spoilers for anyone who didn't get 10 minutes into the episode.
That was horrible.
Yeah, that is a bit. What was the big twist of the last one, which we came so close to shielding you from ever figuring out before the end of the show, is revealed almost instantly, and that is obviously a controversial thing that the show does right off the bat. Some people hate it. Some people maybe don't have a problem with it. Of the people who actually did watch this show, for me, I always said, the mystery of who is Gossip Girl should not be what the show is centered around. It should not be like we shouldn't be watching the whole entire last season being like, oh, this is the big mystery, who's Gossip Girl, because ultimately who cares? But it still is fun when it is just a mysterious voice, speaking. When you hear Kristen Bell's voice, but you know it's just a gaggle of pathetic teachers on the other end, it finally takes some of the luster out of it.
Yeah.
And then also just the fact that not only do they reveal it right away, which maybe could have worked, but the fact that it is just a bunch of pathetic teachers trying to get back at a bunch of teenagers is really just, why did we go
and
this
route? Makes it seem like the show's trying to get us to root for these teachers. Like, do they want us to, like, they're making the main cast out to be the bad guy, which the original Gossip Girl, of course, like, they're all bad people, but we're supposed to just, like, kind of enjoy the ridiculous show in front of us and not, like, choose a side. They want us to, like, choose a side of the poor teachers, and that was never the point of Gossip Girl.
We didn't know any of the teachers.
No, it was weird. We knew more about these teachers than we ever did in Constance.
I know. And see, that's like the problem too, because it's like you said, the old series, they were all bad people, which was part of the fun. Mm-hmm. This series looks to be the same. It's a bunch of terrible people, maybe even worse than the first series for some of them. But there are terrible people, and they're who we're watching this show for. So you can't just make us start siding
initially
with a bunch of adults that are trying to take them down. Like, that's can't be.
Yeah,
can't be. Good
it's like they thought, like, well, I guess our audience has aged into adults, so now let's, like, give them some adults to watch and root for.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Not gonna work. Not
no,
when you're watching
no,
a teen
no.
drama.
It's a teen
work.
Drama. Yeah, but it's just, I don't know. And none of them are likable. So, the worst actors of the entire episode were those teachers. Like, I know, like, that's part of Gossip Girl. Like, you're supposed to have, like, pretty bad actors in the show.
part of the tradition.
Part of tradition. The kids weren't that bad. I think they were fine. There's some really.
Did
tough
you say the kids
readers.
Are all right? Reference. It's a
reference. That's a reference.
I mean, the show might as well be doing this too, because they make such, like, blatant references that they might as well just, like, look to the camera and be like, reference.
They might as well. Like, I like hearing the names of the old show. Like, you hear, like,
I was gonna ask, like, they're giving
us
something to pull us in, I guess. Yeah, and we will see. I mean, I'm not gonna tell you from who or you know what, but you know, we'll see some familiar faces
at
some point.
Yeah.
I'll give you a little hook to keep watching.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that for, like, a shitty reboot, you need some of that stuff to keep you going.
Yes. Yes. So let's just get into this. You know, we might get through with this whole episode in this first episode of the reboot here, or we might break it up into two parts because there is a lot to break down with a bunch of new characters we have to get in. Brendan, I warned you. I was like, there's listed 13 main characters here in this season one, and I was like, Brendan, you got a lot of new characters, and you were like, hopefully with easy names, and I was like, haha, we got an Obi, we got an Aki, we got a Zoya. So.
Yeah, I can't assign those names to any faces in my head at the moment.
So maybe by the end of this, we'll try.
I refuse to learn any of the names of the teachers. I'll tell you that. Like, I'm not going to.
There's the main one. There's the pervy one that filmed the teenagers undressing.
Like, I just happen to do this. This is weird. You're not going to use this, though. What were you doing out there, then?
There's the gay one, and there's the other woman who comes up with the idea, I guess. And those are the four main teachers.
Okay. I'll remember the gay one.
Yeah. I don't even think he gets a name in this episode, but it is, based on my memory and also the wiki, his name is Rafa. Don't remember his last name, but he is there. So after the COVID-19 pandemic, which has brought up a bunch of reference, weary teachers create an anonymous Gossip Girl Instagram account to regain control. They target Julian Calloway, an influencer, and secretly admit her half-sister, Zoya. Julian and Zoya unite, but keep their social media history hidden. Gossip Girl exposes their secret friendship and implicates Zoya with Julian's boyfriend, Obi. Julian plans to clear Zoya's name at a fashion show, but Monet and Luna scheme to oust Zoya. Julian doesn't help, leading to their friendship's demise. Zoya plans to overthrow Julian, getting close to Obi after he breaks up with Julian. Audrey and Aki develop attractions to Max. And that's what's going on in our first episode. The title, Just Another Girl on MTA. And Brendan, your favorite game is back. You haven't been able to play this with the OC, but we do have the references back. What is this title, Just Another Girl on MTA, referring to?
Girl on MTA. I'm trying to think of another... Just Another Girl on JetBlue? Just Another Girl on LIRR? I don't know. I just got to pick a... I'll further... For not having any really real ideas, I'll say Just Another Girl on the LIRR, a local movie. Maybe it was made... A short film
by Travis Hurley.
Yeah, exactly.
the title reference is the 1992 film Just Another Girl on the IRT. I don't think you were ever going to get that.
No, I picked other letters.
Yeah, it says it's a film about a black girl moving to the city and like getting acquainted with everything. So kind of parallels Zoya's trip to
which the other show didn't used to do. So that's something.
Yeah, yeah.
I like this show.
This is far superior.
That's a great television show.
Original air date, July 8th, 2021 on HBO Max. Then the next day, on July 9th, 2021 on the CW. And they aired it an hour and a half with commercials. But they did cut out the racier parts because it was on TV. And Josh Schwartz, who had a hand in the pilot, said he wished he would have known that it was going to be on the CW because they would have shot alternate shots for them to use for the CW instead of having to cut things out. So I would like... It's the reverse of what you get on your HBO Max. It would have been like a clean version have for the CW. Now we're all getting the dirty version.
What we have gotten, instead of like the box eating, which we like to call it on the show, what would we have gotten instead of that? Just like nice little pecks in the cheek?
Yeah, that's usually they save the box eating for your versions, but now since it's HBO Max, we all get it. And then after the CW, it premiered July 20th, 2021 on Snapchat Mini.
It
says that they were airing the episodes on Snapchat, on Snapchat Mini, for people who were in the appropriate age range on Snapchat. So I guess you had to be a certain age on Snapchat to be able to watch it.
Watch it on your phone.
Unlike the pervy teachers of this show, they were not targeting young showing them these graphic images. Written by Joshua Safran, who I believe is showrunner of this show, so he will have a large part in these episodes here. And during its HBO Max debut, Gossip Girl debuted to 550,000 households. It saw record viewership over the first 4 days of availability. Beyond HBO Max, Gossip Girl took over Twitter and slid into the number one trending spot on the platform. It stayed in the top five trends through midday. And on TikTok, the series garnered about 15 billion impressions of content inspired by the series. So this came on strong.
Yeah,
everyone apparently was talking about it. It was breaking records on HBO Max. But I think not only the quality of the show probably turned some people off after a while, either people who were hoping it was going to be more similar to the old Gossip Girl or didn't like how similar, you know, I'm sure it went both ways. Mm-hmm. Also, just the fact that it was on HBO Max, and I've complained about HBO Max to no end about how the playback features are so terrible and how we'll just lose your spot in the episode and how, like, that's terrible. I think also it... the way it launched the episodes, I think, was bet. From what I can remember, this first season has 12 episodes. It starts in the summer, like I said, July 8th, 2021. Okay. It started doing weekly. It did once a week, which is fine. But then after 6 weeks, it just took a break for, I think, like 3 or 4 months, because it comes back Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So people have already forgotten about it. And then they drop 3 episodes on Thanksgiving, three episodes the week after, and then season one is over. Which is so...
It seems like they could have just not taken the break and just went through.
Yeah, it really was baffling to me. So I think that probably has a lot to do. I don't know who was behind that decision.
Mm-hmm. They probably just forgot to drop them. Started. It's like those days where I forgot to drop the episode. You're like, nothing's up yet. Like, oh, shit. And I put it up.
Well, episode 7, I remember, is a Thanksgiving episode, and Gospel is famous for their Thanksgiving episodes.
So they
wanted
to maybe push back for that.
Were they just like, oh, we gotta actually air it on Thanksgiving, so let's just halt production, save this for 4 months, and then just unload them all at once.
Yeah.
Like, that's stupid if that was the case. Maybe it had already started to decline throughout the first 6 episodes, and then they just decided to like dump them all at the end. Or
maybe we shouldn't even air these, because no one likes it, and then like, we already made them.
Yeah, but... We've made it to the reboot, and our first scene is on a train, the titular MTA, and you might think this is the main student we will be following, but you'd be wrong. This is the incredibly young main teacher that we will be following, played by Tavi Gevinson, who plays Miss Kate Keller. And she is actually younger than some of the actors playing the students in the show. Tavi Gevinson is only 25 during season one, and she's playing a teacher, as we've discussed, the teachers play a much larger role in the reboot. One of the reasons this version is a lot worse. We were saying, I hate all the teachers in the show. Miss Kate Keller, of course, is included in that. And even IMDb says, Tavi Gevinson, who plays English teacher at Constance Billard, Kate Keller, is actually younger than Jordan Alexander, Thomas Doherty, and Zion Marino, who plays Julian, Max, and Luna, respectively. So she's 25. The students playing them are like 26, 27. I think Julian is like 28 when she... Okay. The actor that plays Julian is like 28 when she first starts. So there's these students that are... The actors playing them are older than this late. I don't know why they got such a young person to play.
I don't know. Why would you start the new episode of Gossip Girl and watch this character and think you're going to be watching a teacher in the first place? The opening scene. Exactly. Here's a teacher.
You want her to be young, I guess, so that she's kind of tech savvy enough. She can speak in the Gossip Girl voice. She knows the lingo.
Uh-huh.
But you can't have her be younger than the students.
No, that's crazy. I think that happens less and less nowadays, too.
Yes, it does. I've noticed. And the original Gossip Girl, too, to their credit, they were definitely... I mean, Jenny actually was 14, playing 14. Mm-hmm. But everyone else, they were older than high school age, but they were all from the age range of 20 to 22. It was not this, like, 26-year-old, 28-year-old playing a, 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any of that. But now they've gone older. Some people are younger, but they've... at least some of the cast is a lot older. And Kate is watching the Instagram stories or whatever this is of a student in the school. We don't know this is the it girl yet, Julian, but she's watching the Instagram stories of like the students. I feel like a little strange. I mean, I don't know, maybe if you're on Instagram or something and it's just popping up, but I don't know if she's like looking at them just so she can annoy herself before for school. But I don't know if you noticed this. The outfit Kate Keller wears on the first day of school is a replica of Serena Vanderwoodson's outfit in the pilot of the original show.
Oh, and I didn't notice that.
Reference, remember? Reference. Remember this outfit? You like this show now. You
but
like
insane.
This show.
Like, why are we, so this is like one of our main girls here. That's a teacher at the school. Well, it's just so stupid. Yeah. Like, she's supposed to be like a Serena type?
Did she wear this Serena outfit on purpose? Is she a fan of Serena? It looks like she doesn't know much about Serena when they're like learning about Gossip Girl lore later in the episode. Maybe. And we see this student that Miss Keller was watching. I think we can kind of relate all the new characters we meet to the characters of the classic Gossip Girl. Like, it's not a perfect one-to-one, but I feel like they definitely tried to make these characters somewhat similar to the old characters.
Right. Like, the relationships that they have to each other right now don't like completely line up, but like at face value, you can kind of like, oh, that's obviously Nate, or that's obviously Blair.
100%. When we see Obi as the Dan type, when I saw when they like revealed the cast and they showed like the promotional picture of, it was like, oh, the Dan type that they got. Like, this is Dan. Like,
you
is this supposed to be like the same character? Like, I thought it was. Is it going to be like new people playing Dan Humphrey? Like, because this is Dan that I'm looking at right now.
But he's Rich Dan.
Yes, he's Rich Dan, but still not a part of the world. Still an outsider, kind of. But so the first student we meet is Julian Calloway, I would say the main character so far. And I would say the Serena Vanderwoodson of the new class. She is the it girl.
I was going to say Blair, too, but I guess there's parts of both because she is like kind of running the social circle right now.
She is. And I think she's more similar to Serena because she either is dumb or plays dumb when she does these things, and then she's like, what? What do you mean? I didn't do this. It wasn't me. Well, then how can you be so stupid?
And
like,
so far, no scheming skills.
Yes. Blair is much more likely to own it. There's a few Blairs running around in this.
Yeah, yeah.
In this. None could capture the full Blair Waldorf, so I think they just have like a bunch of mini Blairs just wandering
like,
around.
The sad sex relationship, I don't know either of their names, but the blonde girl and the pink hair boy.
Yeah, Audrey and Hockey.
Yeah, like that's like very much like the Blair and Nate relationship from the very beginning, where it was like 100%. A loveless marriage.
Yep, definitely. So Julian sends a picture of whatever accessory she's wearing to her friend Monet. And first off, we see how disgustingly rich these teens are, with Monet sitting at this huge table with her staff waiting by her to serve her, a couple of ugly dogs.
And those dogs could have been any dogs and. They're classified as ugly dogs in the show.
we also see that the texting and social media aspect is going to play an even bigger role. We are seeing the text convos pop up
on
the screen.
I hate so much because it's so in your face. It's like, guess what? It's 2021 now. Check this out. Like,
it really,
that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
and then all the COVID mentions are like, oh, this obviously came out like right after COVID lifted.
Hate it.
I hate
yes,
that stuff. I haven't seen your face without a mask on. It must be the Zoom stuff. Like, oh, God, yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I hate when any show was doing that. I was like, can I please forget that the pandemic is a thing when I'm watching TV?
Yeah.
What is happening? But I will mention a very positive change for the reboot. The cast is about 100,000 times more diverse than the original cast. So,
yeah,
so good on
yes,
that.
Yes.
there was not a person of color to be found in the original show.
No. It really like, is jarring. It's like, oh wow, they were bad like in the old show.
Yeah.
And like the one of the first sexual scenes you see is like a non-straight person. It's like, oh wow, this is also something that we didn't see from like our original cast at all.
A lot more.
Which would so there's a lot of them. It would have been so easy to just have one person even be bi-curious maybe. But that never
we
even
of,
that
yeah.
never touched that.
We have a lot of, you know, sexual diversity as well, just all over the place. Love that for them.
It's so easy.
And that
to see.
I mean I actually won't give Josh Schwartz. I was going to say to Josh Schwartz credit, but Josh Schwartz did say that he regrets, you know, not being more diverse of the show, and that was something he would work towards in future shows, and he definitely did with this
something
one.
You
so
have to say though,
yeah, exactly. That's why I'm not giving him too much credit here. So we see Monet. Like I said, I think she might end up growing into be more of a Blair type. Spoiler, but for now she is pretty quiet. Her and Luna are really kind of like Julian's minions. They're the minion types. Julian, they are very mean, and I mean,
yeah, they're giving me more
Penelope,
yeah,
all
like,
her,
like they're not
Penelope all her flowers from,
they're more like minions, yeah. I guess you're right,
yeah. Like Penelope and crew were very mean back in the original, but these Monet and Luna are just very spiteful and very 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 hateful,
yeah, like permanent frowns,
yes. The other minion, Luna, she's also getting the message, and she tells Julian to melt it down. Music of the show, still very good. Obviously updated for the 2020s, still enjoyed some of the music choices.
You know,
we
get an old Frank Ocean song at some point, like 2012
okay.
song.
I didn't recognize it. I'm not a big Frank Ocean guy, but I know you are.
I think we had Super Rich Kids. It's hard to – I can't remember. I was dozing left and right during this episode.
I can tell you. I have the song list here.
I think we had a Charlie Gambino song in there, too, somewhere.
Super Rich Kids by Frank Ocean, yes. Uh-huh. I don't believe there was any Childish Gambino, at least not on the song list here.
Okay.
So I will call bullshit on you there, and you better fucking watch yourself.
Okay.
Julian's dad is here, looking very hip with his beanie. He's some big like music producer, I guess. He's not gonna be back until Friday, but he tells Julian to have a great first day of school. He thinks it's odd that Julian is so excited because she's never this excited for the first day of school. But according to Julian, it's better than being stuck here for another year. But now that we've met a parent, I will say that parents are always going to suck on these shows, and it is definitely true with these parents as well. I don't like any of them. I mean, we don't see too much of any of the parents in this one, but you know, as true to the form, they suck.
Yeah, yeah. At least just like very typical, boring parents.
Yeah.
Like when we started the original series, I remember it was Lily was like, "Are really just a shitty parent," so we hated her for that.
Yes, that is true. They're not coming on as strong here so far. But you said they were boring. But Julian's dad says, "Oh shit!" And just show them your show now, so they can say shit.
That's pretty awesome.
Parents can
honestly
say shit. The kids can say shit. Yeah, everyone's just, you know, shitting it up. So we see Julian kissing her hand and touching the picture of a mystery girl on her desk. Cut to resident Chuck Bass is getting ready for school. I feel like this was one of the more obvious parallels
just
of the
like
show.
Looks.
The Chuck. Yeah, it looks just like him. The Chuck to Max pipeline, and his two gay dads tell him to have a great day. So we even with the parents, we have some gay
We've
dads.
We've had gay dads before. Not impressed.
Then we see the Dan type at some sort of protest. We find out his name is Obi, and then after quickly going to him, like we're getting a quick introductions of all the characters. Then we mentioned who were, I guess, the Nate and Blair here, at least the early season one Nate and Blair, where they're dating the loveless marriage at 16. The pink-haired boy, Aki, is getting it on with the girl, Audrey, and she is apologizing that it's taking a long time. So we have our quick interest of them, but then we see our Jenny Humphrey type, the young girl going to a new school. She is the girl in the mystery picture, and we know this because she has the same picture of herself in her room, which is interesting, I guess. Mm-hmm. And she gets greeted by her dad asking, "Where's my freshman?" And then he switches to fresh woman, fresh person, fresh princess.
I say that a lot.
Yeah. I hate this man so much already. Yeah. What do you say? Fresh? Where's my freshman?
Yeah, I say, where's my freshman?
Where's my freshman? That's when you and Nicole are role playing in the bedroom.
Yeah, I'm the dean.
So we find out that this girl is going to Constance Billard. Of course, Constance is back. Yeah. Her dad is worried about the mean kids, but she tells him there's bad kids all over, even in Buffalo. But they had to leave. They couldn't pass up the scholarship. And obviously, since it's the teen drama, she wants to go to Yale. Where else but Yale? She wants to go to Yale drama this time. It's the only school that these kids have heard of. We find out that this girl's half-sister goes there, but you know, she might not even see her. This girl might not even know she exists. She's half-sisters with the it girl of the school. Should be fun.
Yeah. Really, really fun. It's good. It's going to be really good.
So we've met everyone, I guess. Do you have, and you know, you've seen the whole episode too.
Yeah.
Do you have anyone that like jumps out at you? A character you may be interested in following of the students? Obviously we hate all the teachers of the students. Is there anyone jumping out at you so far? Positive or negative?
I mean the two main girls, Julian and,
Zoya,
I almost said Aki. That's the pink haired boy, right?
Yeah, yep. You're getting
Zoya.
It.
They were decent. I mean, both like attractive young ladies. Not terrible actors. They're setting stuff up, but it's fine. I was more interested in Audrey because that was actually like a little bit different from like the typical Gossip Girl plot. It was just like a sad girl that hates sex is interesting.
That's what we need.
We need that. It's a little different. She just seemed confused, which left me interested, I guess, where the plot with, you know, Gossip Girl loves a mother plot. And I'm just like, we're going to need to figure out who these girls' mother is now. And they kind of rip off the Band-Aid pretty, we haven't gotten there yet, but they seemingly don't know each other until like minute 10 of the episode. And then they're like, mm-hmm. We tricked you, audience.
Nope.
Okay.
We got you. Wow. We know each other.
Good thing I was so invested where that got me really good.
You mentioned sad sexless girl Audrey.
Uh-huh.
I love Audrey as well. I mean, I'm naturally going to be gone to the prettiest people of the cast, mm-hmm. or drawn to the prettiest people of the cast. But Audrey is someone I was also just interested in seeing whatever's going on with her. She's a quiet,
like
a
relatable
premiere.
Teen. Like she seems unsure and is trying to figure herself out, which is like what teen dramas are supposed to be about.
Yes. So back to Zoya. She claims she doesn't want to meet her half-sister because she never accepted her friend request when she was 10. And this is completely fair. I'd be holding this grudge for life, too. Do you know how many friendships I ended because of the MySpace top eights? If you didn't accept my friend request, like, it's over.
I didn't have MySpace. So I'm lucky.
Lucky you. Lucky, because if I wasn't in your top eight, it'd be over.
There would have been some real shit. Okay.
There would have been. I had some of the greats in my top eight, like Dane Cook, Tila Tequila.
But you're mad if your friends didn't have you in?
Oh, then the rest were my actual friends.
Okay.
My mom was very mad at me when she saw that Teal Tequila was in my top eight. She's got the most MySpace friends of anyone.
Why was she mad about it? She's a fun personality.
Well, now she's a Nazi. Maybe she was onto something.
That's what I mean by fun personality.
disavow. The freshman is off to school and dad wishes her luck, but not before asking where she got her sneakers. She claims they were a gift from Bella, but she is clearly hiding something. Sneakers are a big focal point of the show. They did just look like normal sneakers to me.
They looked like Adidas with like extra poof on them on the sides.
Yeah.
So I guess we're not sneakerheads, cool. But
oh, yeah.
they're probably very expensive.
Probably. Yeah. Julian and her minions are sitting on the steps. They don't look like the steps of the Met from the old Gossip Girl, but they are steps. We will get a classic steps on the Met scene later. Teachers begin to enter the school, and Monet finally gives us my first laugh of the series when she acts like an insane person because a teacher like almost gets near her, and she's like, "Ew, go! Don't they have their own entrance or something? I'm standing here. You see me, don't you?" As they've like already passed her.
Yeah.
The teachers do seem like they're scared of her, as they should be. There wasn't a lot of laughs in this episode, but I did love the over-the-top reaction here from Mona.
Yeah,
Monet.
This is like they're building the narrative of the teachers versus children.
Yes.
Plot line. It's like,
and they are children, yes. Yeah. Our heroes enter the school for their first day of junior year, but not before Julian photo shoot. They are going to mention that there are uniforms later, but there doesn't seem to be school uniforms at Constance anymore.
Very loose, people are, I guess.
Yeah, loose definition of what uniforms are. But Julian is still wearing a tie with seemingly no pants. She looks like the classic Serena look after a night of sex.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
The guy button-up shirt with, like, no pants.
Right, like every, like, wearing. Couple steps you see a little bit of the, like, shorts that are underneath. Like, oh, okay, she is wearing pants. Okay, I see him.
It's a bold
but you have
choice.
To look for the shirts.
Yes, and I'm always looking for shorts, baby.
Where's my freshman? I gotta look for those shorts.
Before the picture can be taken, our new teacher, no, not new, Keller's been working there, but the new to us teacher accidentally bumps into Julian and spills some coffee. Not the first time. I mean, not the last time in this episode that will happen.
Does that spilling drinks?
Julian apologizes. Well, yeah, that seems to be the main problem that many people have. Julian apologizes to Miss Keller, which is nice, but Monet is glaring daggers at her and tells Julian not to apologize. She almost ruined her cappuccino, and she lets her know that it would take a whole month's salary for Keller to replace it, really putting her in her place. They all continue being rude to her before another teacher comes and escorts her inside. These girls are mean, yes, that is to be expected, but in this scene I'm also noticing they're also insanely tall. These are the tallest girls that have ever gone to school, I think.
What do you think, like 6 foot each?
The actress that plays Julian is like 5'10", and she was like the same height or shorter than the other girls.
Yeah, I feel like this show, they casted the show with a bunch of models, and models are famously very tall.
Yes, I think that is what is happening here. I should also mention we have our first trans character in Luna, played by Zion, I've heard it both ways, Marino. So another cause for celebration here. We actually have some trans representation.
That's one of the minions?
Yes, Luna, okay. The one that is not Monet. Keller and the other teacher are walking the halls. Keller doesn't know why she still expects the girls to be nice. And this is when she says a year of Zoom boxes fooled her. They keep referencing the pandemic. Don't love. I guess they need to make the show realistic, like it's taking place in this universe. And also, it's clear that Keller is not a new teacher. She's been here through the pandemic. So when did she get this job? When she was 16? Because she's so young.
Yeah.
We meet another teacher, Wendy, who is already sad on the first day of school, and she tells Martine that the headmistress needs to speak to her. So we'll find out what's going on with that later. Keller is wiping the coffee off her top, and in comes yet another teacher, Jordan Glassberg. And like you were saying, we've now met more teachers in this show than actual students, so bad start in getting me invested already.
They didn't have such a disdain for teachers in the old show, did they? Like,
this is a new thing.
They're actually trying to get them all
we
fired.
We hate teachers.
Yeah,
they hated each other. And I guess that's what they're saying. Because of Gossip Girl, they all hated each other. They didn't have time to hate the teachers. So I guess that is the thesis statement.
If they didn't hate each other, they would have hated the teachers.
Yeah, without Gossip Girl wreaking havoc, all the students would have just loved each other and would have just hated the teachers. So, this guy, Glassberg, he's clearly, I think, into Keller. And right off the bat, he offers to buy her a Yeti so she won't spill in the future. I would have taken him up on that. But Keller instead complains about... Keller instead complains about how it took her an hour to pick out an outfit that she thought they wouldn't make fun of, the classic Serena look. Mm. So this lady already doing everything wrong. Like, I get the impulse to not want your life torn apart by teens. I go through it every day. But you can't live in fear like that because they can smell fear. And if they know you fear them, they will eat you alive. So.
I'm sure. Do you ever get comments on your... outfits at work, or you kind of just dressed as casual?
I wear the same thing every day. I wear a button up with a tie and
dress pants. You almost have like your own little like cartoon uniform that you wear. So
exactly, yeah. The days when I do dress down though, and just it's very rare. But when I do the sweatshirt and jeans, I will be like, whoa, what's going? Just because it's a new look.
But it's a timeless look.
I do get mistaken for a student. So I just want to say I am young.
It's because of the height. Let's be honest.
I am young. it doesn't hurt. The guy at Firestone last week called me kiddo. So.
That's true. If you're getting called kiddo, young. You're officially under 30.
Exactly. I am young. The teachers are clearly jealous of it, girl Julian, and one of them remarks that, you know, if Julian wore that outfit, everyone would be obsessed. Glassberg knows they just pick on them because they can, because no one says not to. The kids are clearly running the school here, and another teacher points out that if you try to fail them, an F becomes a C becomes valedictorian, and they go to the Ivy of their choice. So Keller is flummoxed. This seems like it's mm-hmm. news to Keller, even though she's been here before. She's like, what? This school produced great people. Caroline Kennedy, Colson Whitehead, and of course, Nate Archibald.
biggest laugh of the episode.
It's like, wow, he's one of the names of great people to come up with. What is he up to this day? What is he up to? We saw he was like, in the final episode, he was running for some kind of office. He was maybe mayor or something. Mm-hmm. So maybe his politics career has taken off and he is one of the great names that has come out of this school. But yeah. great first reference to the old show.
Yeah.
That, besides Serena's outfit, the first person by name reference is Nate Archibald, which is great. This is why Keller wanted to teach here. But Rebecca points out that Nate Archibald was no saint when he went here. Apparently, Rebecca also went here. Class of 09. Yeah, so, she
I thought I was missing that. Nicole looked it up during the episode, and I was like, oh, she never appeared in the show? And we're supposed to, like, is this a reference for anyone besides, like, the writers?
Right. So I thought that this was just a random person who is just, like, not that she's lying, but just, like, a random person that they invented that says that she went to school mm-hmm. with the students. But according to the wiki, Serena Vanderwoodson, Nate Archibald, Chuck Bass, and Blair Waldorf, because I saw just to derail my own thought, mm-hmm. I saw in the trivia that she actually was an off-screen character in the show. So I went to the characters wiki, and the only thing about her in the original show, Serena Vanderwoodson, Nate Archibald, Chuck Bass, and Blair Waldorf are discussing potential candidates as to the identity of Gossip Girl. This is the season 2 finale. Chuck mentions Rebecca as a candidate, but Blair dismisses her as having her head stuck in a book, so she never pays attention.
Because this character in this show mentions everyone thought it was me. That's why I thought it was a real character, because she's like, everyone thought it was me. I was like, what?
Oh, I thought she was just talking out of her ass. Because, yeah, she's like, when I was in school, Like I said, I've never seen her before in her life, mm-hmm. and she says when she went to school, they lived under constant threat. People like Nate were scared straight. The teachers are like, "How? What do you mean? What's going on?" I mean, Gossip Girl was kind of a big deal. Like, I'm surprised that none of these people have ever heard of Gossip Girl.
Right.
But Rebecca explains to them the lore of Gossip Girl. If she knew your secrets, and she always did, she told them, kept students accountable. She claims people thought it was me, but it was actually one of my classmates, Dan Humphrey, and I was like, I'll call bullshit that anyone thought it was her. Like, we just watched the retrospective. No one guessed Rebecca.
Yeah.
She is pumping herself up here. She is just trying to sound cool to her. But apparently, for a brief second, Chuck said Rebecca might be a candidate, and Blair immediately dismissed it.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what she's referring to.
It's like for the real deal fans or something. I don't know. And the show is so self-referential. God.
Nailed it.
That I figured it had to be some sort of reference, because they need to lean on these things in order for us to stay interested. But now between the Serena outfit that went over my head and now the Rebecca reference, I wonder how many people really caught the Rebecca reference in lifetime.
No one. I mean, if there was like a handful we did not of people, catch it after doing an entire podcast on the show, no one
did.
No
did it say what episode that conversation was that they had? It was towards the end.
Season 2 finale.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that's a tough one.
All the teachers recognize the name of the great novelist Dan Humphrey, and one of them is like, oh yeah, I remember reading about this. So Rebecca has pulled up the old Gossip Girl page on the computer, and the teachers all crowd around the computer to read about it as soon as Rebecca leaves. Glassberg thinks this is the coolest thing in the world. He wishes he thought of it when he was in high school. Keller points out, we're still in high school. And the other teacher is like, oh, maybe we should try it. You know, and an idea is born, even though all the teachers are like, that's rich. That's a great one. Obviously, we would never do this, and they leave it at that.
They're trying to get around getting fired by these kids, and they're just like doing something that's going to get them fired.
Yeah, doing that would get anyone fired. So back to the students. Thank God, Max has arrived, and everyone is so happy to see him. Obi also arrives, but our Dan of this show seems to be part of the inside already, because he's actually already dating our Serena It Girl type, and Julian doesn't like that Obi is rumpled and sweaty because he was supposed to do her story, but he forgot because he was bringing breakfast to the Navy Yard strike line.
Wow.
Clearly a progressive do-gooder type here, the Obi.
Mm-hmm. Almost annoyingly so.
Almost. I guess it's nice to have someone that just isn't a complete asshole.
Yeah,
but
I'm expecting it to be like an annoying character trait at some point.
Yes, and a lot of times when you do have the super rich person that is trying to do the progressive do-gooder things, it's comes off a little shallow, where you know, he could be doing a lot more. Where
they mentioned him, he's like the rich guilty or whatever.
He's the richest person. He's the richest one. He could I mean, I guess it is his parents' wealth, so I don't know how much he can actually do, but yeah, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Obi is helping out the Strikers, even though it's his own parents' development. He claims his parents, he's like, my parents know how I feel. So we have a rebellious rich kid on our hands in the form of Obi. Julian, though, doesn't really give a shit about the Strikers. She's like, what about what I deserve? Which, very Serena of her.
yes.
Audrey and Aki arrive, and our gang is back together again, but for the first time on the show, though. And Aki refers to them as the Seven Samurai, but Obi's like, yeah, we need to change that group chat name, because that's not going to stick. What do you think of the Seven Samurai?
I mean, I like the alliteration.
Sure.
I think they could do better.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But it's all we have for now. They don't have a non-judgmental breakfast club that they can go with right now. We see our main group all chatting with each other, preparing for school. Instant chemistry here between Max and Audrey when he tells her he's interested in the student body, yours included. So another thing that's kind of Blair and Chuck about them
immediate friction there, because that's a fun like little back and forth where it seems like her relationship now, they just get right to fucking. I think that maybe there's no foreplay. Yeah. He just is inside of her immediately.
Also, Max, like, he's best friends with these people. He knows that Aki and Audrey have been dating, you know, they're in a monogamous married relationship at age 16, and yet he seems intent on just fucking both of them. Like, he wants them both to himself and not
with
each other.
That's what happens when you're kids. You fuck your friends. You gotta fuck your friends.
So Audrey calls out that the Graham is gonna have to wait because Julian is looking for her sister. And Julian's like, well, she's not my sister, just half. And this is news to some people. So Audrey thinks it's a big deal because the girl enrolled and moved here like a stalker. And if it wasn't for the headmistress, Burton, they wouldn't have even known. And Obi gives us the lore that their dads hate each other. And now Max is starting to remember. She's like, oh, yeah, she's from when Julian's mom ran off on her dad. And Obi can't believe this girl didn't tell Julian herself that she was coming. But we know that she did. Mm-hmm. But Julian's like, no, it's okay. We have each other. That's all we need. Who cares about this new girl? And here comes the new shoes, the new sneakers of the new student. The new sneakers walk up the steps, passes by her sister. They look at each other and smile. And Audrey asks if that's her. Monet asks if they should throw their lattes at her. She truly might be the meanest person on the show.
Seriously.
She just throw their hot drinks at her.
Yeah, I think they just buy coffees to throw them at people.
Luna says she can't see freshmen. But Julian's clearly smiling when she sees Zoya here. And Zoya just keeps walking, and Julian tells her friends that she likes the girl's shoes. So she's planting the seeds that these shoes are pretty cool.
Pretty cool. I love nothing more than first day of school, fresh shoes. One of my favorite things about going back to school is fresh kicks.
How often are you still going back to school?
Gotta see my freshmen.
Gotta show off the fresh kicks for the freshmen.
The freshmen. I remember in sixth grade, I got a compliment from Kim Whalen that I always have great shoes. I'll never forget that.
And that's enough to change anyone's life.
Yeah.
Sometimes those compliments do stick with
you. They do stick, yeah.
Yeah. The teachers are reading up on Gossip Girl. Keller says the Chuck and Blair thing is out of control. Brendan, I know you're agreeing with her. You were definitely over the bluck of it all.
That's right.
And she's like, this was definitely pre-cancel culture. I don't even know what point she was making.
It's 2021, you got to mention cancel culture. Yeah.
They're going over all the Gossip Girl hits, how unbelievable they are. Keller is jealous of Gossip Girl as a writer, and is also not blaming the terrible students because is it their fault they were born into wealth and influence without any examples of how not to abuse it? And she's like, we're their last hope. We're supposed to send them out of here as Barack Obamas, not Brett Kavanaughs. This is a moment where it's like reference. This show,
I had a thought,
loves
though.
Its topical.
They might have been talking about the potential, like the attempted for rape in the first episode, and that would have canceled.
Oh, could be,
the
definitely pre-cancel culture. Yeah, just mentioning Brett Kavanaugh as a topical reference, it just feels very cringy watching this right now. Like they are throwing it
all these. Like, it feels like they look at the screen and like are anticipating the audience's reaction after these references.
Yeah. Martine comes into the teacher's lunch crying. She's been fired. Something about refusing to change a grade last year. So these teachers are, I guess, just supposed to pass everyone with flying colors, like no matter what.
I mean, this is a real private school thing. Like Nicole said today that for her grades, she has to put in for this quarter. She's not allowed to give any kid below an 80.
So, they tell you the grade and you just have
to... Yeah. Like she said today, she's like, they wanted me to hand in grades today, but I didn't give a shit because I knew all I was going to do was just like punch in made up numbers. So it doesn't really matter.
Straight 80s, baby. Straight 80s.
Yeah, straight 80s.
There were also other teachers that were waiting when she left. It's a bloodbath out there. They're firing all these teachers on the first day of school, which seems like a logistics nightmare. Like, now they have to hire a bunch of people when the school year has already begun. I mean, I guess maybe they have them waiting on deck already.
The first day of school.
It still doesn't... True. It's well, she said it was a grade that she didn't change from.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
From last year.
And they just told her today.
So they waited. Well, they waited for the first day of school to fire her, and the justification they give is someone says, well, they need to do it in front of an audience. What?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
So Glassberg is scared they could be next, but Wendy's like, we don't have to be. And the teachers enter the hall. Keller is typing away on Twitter on the phone Wendy just provided. And just like that, Gossip Girl is back. And, you know, it's not. You know, we're going to get a weak one to begin with. A Constance French teacher just got the guillotine. Her executioner? The parents. Looks like this school's pay to slay. And the tweet is sent, and the anonymous tweeter is supposed to rule the school, I guess, with as much power as Gossip Girl did, just because they're using the Gossip Girl name. I'm very happy that this did not work at first, especially because it is Twitter. Like, no one would have seen this.
You need like someone to retweet that to get that going, I guess. And just you're just like throwing that into the ether.
Also, it's no longer a student writer doing this, but a bunch of teachers who have to keep up the facade as if they're a bitchy Kristen Bell type. Like, how is this going to work?
It'd be funny if they sent that tweet out and it's like five retweets from teachers.
Makes it so obvious. Not a fan of this hook at all.
No.
Our new girl visits the bathroom. Julian is in there, and as soon as the other people in the bathroom leave, our two girls start celebrating, and they are clearly excited to see each other. Julian's so excited to actually meet her sister, not just someone in her chat history anymore. Their dads have no idea why they had to keep this a secret from their dads, because their dads hate each other. But
they hate each other because of the mom.
Zoya's dad knows that she's going to school with her sister, but he thinks that they're not going to see each other. It's very convoluted, I'll say, for them to have to keep this a secret. But they're good for now. Julian Elizabeth and Zoya Jane. We finally get a name for the new girl, Zoya, and also middle names for both of them. Julian still can't believe she's really here, and they hug it out. Julian has a plan that'll get her into the friend group and tells Zoya to come to the Met steps at 11. Zoya was told that freshmen don't have open campus privileges, but Julian reminds her that they own this school. They work for us. So they'll be able to do whatever they want.
She had to go with this convoluted plan to get her into the friend group. She could have just mentioned to her friends, like, hey, my sister's coming to the school. I'm going to hang out with her, and she's going to be part of the group. Like, she's the leader of the group. Literally. She could have done this easily. And she kind of just does that anyway.
Yeah. If she just says right away, my sister goes here now, I've been talking to her online. She seems cool. She's part of the friend group. She's our friend. It would have listened. Right. She's the leader.
Like, she forces her upon them anyway.
Yeah. So I don't know why. She's like, I have a plan. I will plant this seed about how good your shoes are.
And
then, like, it's so crazy. We keep going back to these amazing new sneakers that Julian got Zoya.
Like, the only person she needs to trick is really Zoya's dad, because he seems like a little bit like, what's going on?
Yes, that's it.
But he doesn't go to school, so it's easy to keep it from him.
But Julian's like, I already planted the seed that I like your sneakers, so I'm going to call you over to include you in my story, just like we planned. And, like, yeah, okay, that's not suspicious at all. Like, just say you want to hang out with your – like, it's so crazy. Julian, we haven't mentioned, has a shaved head. Should we talk about that?
Sure. Let's get to hair watch. Starting hair watch early.
What do you think of the do?
I think it takes a certain skull to rock this look.
And how is she doing?
This is one of those skulls that can rock.
She's got a good skull.
She's got a good skull.
This is what Vanessa was supposed to look like in the original series.
Books.
The shaved head. Yes, in the books.
Interesting. No, yeah, this I don't think Vanessa, our Vanessa, that particular person could have rocked that.
Yeah, I don't know
if it would have worked. This is a look that Chris Rock would not like.
Yeah, that's true. Be careful.
I didn't say it. I just put the pieces together.
We're back on the steps of the Met, our classic location. They're making plans for tonight. Obi's doing more good deeds, so he'll be late, rumpled and sweaty. Rumpled and sweaty, our new podcast title. I feel like this guy... I don't want to know. But I feel like this guy, this actor, he also sounds like exactly like Dan. Like this is a Dan, like, just impersonator.
Yeah, he really is. Hair's the same. His, like, mopiness is the same.
Yeah. Zoe is across the street. They're making fun of her for of all things, for waiting for the light. I guess the cars work for them as well, where they just ignore lights and walk whenever they want.
Well, that's kind of like in New Paltz. You can kind of cross the street whenever you want, and they stop for you.
Oh, famous, yeah. You, anywhere else, people will honk at you. At New Paltz, they stop and they wave at you.
No honks, yeah. It's like, hey, how you doing? Yeah.
My favorite part in New Paltz. So these girls, like, truly want to murder this new girl as she takes a seat on the steps, as is the plan. But Julianne asks Zoya about her shoes and asks for a picture. Just because our dads hate each other doesn't mean we have to. And the other girls cannot believe what they're seeing. But Julianne simply asks, you know, what if she's cool? And so she can't be cool. Monet calls her a headband nerd. So I guess headbands aren't cool anymore? Wow. What are they doing to Blair's memory?
It's horrible.
Serena's outfit not cool on Keller. Headbands not cool either.
10 years have passed.
Oh my god! I have to get rid of all my headbands.
We're just talking about last
episode. How I'm always
wearing.
They'll
come back around eventually.
My god, they better. So Zoya notices Obi's like little pin on his bag, the Right to the City Alliance, and Obi tells her that he volunteers with them, and she tells him they're doing great work. So obviously, Zoya's a little bit of a do-gooder as well. And
no,
her grandpa used to work with them. No pin to show, not yet. Yeah, her grandpa used to work with them before he passed away. And if he needs anyone to volunteer with him, she's in. This is all Obi needs to hear. He likes her. He seems to be the least mean of this group anyway. So she's got Obi in her corner at least.
Right. They actually found something in common. That's how friends are made.
Yeah. That is usually how friends are made. Not by someone saying... Okay, so I'm going to say I like your shoes. You're going to come to the store. You're going to sit on the mat. Julianne asks...
I would love to sit on Mrs. Matt.
Yeah, you're going to sit on Mrs. Matt. She goes here now.
I want Mrs. Matt to sit on me is what I meant to say.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, sorry.
When Nicole says to you, you know you can think about her, right? She's talking about Mrs. Matt.
Absolutely. Me and Big Poppy have that in common. Did you see all that during the World Series? How obsessed he is with Mrs. Met?
No, who is this?
David Ortiz. Called over Mrs. of course, called over Mrs. Met and got into a fight with Mr. Met. There's a love triangle.
Oh, I did hear about that, and I heard that they were talking on the baseball podcast I listened to that when this happened, like Derek Jeter just got up and left.
That
and
was the best about part. They're in the
how
middle of this
boring
stupid
he is
bit,
and how he refuses to like.
Oh no! I think it was great comedic timing by Derek Jeter. He gets up, and is like, "I am not here for this shit." And just takes off his headphones and leaves. It was even funnier than the Big Poppy bit.
That's funny. So Julianne asks if she's ever heard of the guilty rich. Obi is the guiltiest and the richest. So Obi is richer than all of them, I guess. And we get Zola's handle. A lot of Z with two E's. So if you want to follow Zoya, you can follow her there. Julianne warns her that she's going to get a lot of new followers after this. And she asks her to hang out after school. Zoya's hesitant because it's a school night. And the other girls are just rolling their eyes at her. Julianne's going to put her on the list at the club or whatever they're going to. Everything, everything's going to go great for her as long as everyone agrees. Max agrees because maybe just because his Zanny just kicked in. These kids are doing drugs, or at least Max is doing drugs before school, of course. And he also calls her cute enough. She's cute enough. I guess mirroring Chuck's love of freshman as well. Even Monet thinks it might be nice to have someone run errands. And just like that, Zoya is in. It would be so intimidated. Like, just the way this friend group is acting towards me Right. Yeah. Or I'd be like, yeah, I don't know if I can do this tonight. Like, maybe just some one-on-one time at first. Like, we're going to have to break me. Like, I cannot do this.
It's intimidating enough to be a freshman and to, like, hang out with older people, but, like, they're glaring at you and are mean people. They're just, like, not nice and welcoming.
Literally sitting on steps and just, like, judging her. And, like,
it's
crazy. Oh, I should mention that Zoya is played by someone named Whitney Peak. And during my first watch of the show, I was, of course, Googling all the heights of the actors because I have a problem. I need to know the age and heights of everybody I see on screen.
So what's her peak?
And I Googled Whitney Peak height. I guess Whitney Peak was not famous enough when I Googled her height. And there's also a Mount Whitney that exists. So when I Googled Whitney Peak height, was the height of the peak of Mount Whitney, 14,505 feet. So I screenshot that and I tweeted, holy shit, Gossip Girl cast got a literal giant to play one of the characters of the reboot. One of my best tweets
That's
ever,
really
as evidenced by Brendan's.
That's really good.
I was so proud of it. I even showed Ganesh. I was like
Ganesh, he would love that shit. Yeah. Do you have the stats on that?
He's like, oh, that's good.
You got like
I don't.
Retweets?
I'd have to look it up. Okay. I'll have it for next episode. I don't want to take some time to look it up. But it didn't do as well as I needed it to. I don't think enough people were watching to really
I'll try
just appreciate
it.
The humor of that. But I will remember something that stuck out to me. You know who did like it? Mr. Smith.
Oh, I should have guessed.
A random like, yes. Very active on Twitter as we've known.
And I'm sure he was up to date with the show.
Yeah, I'm sure. Heller's tweet, though, unlike mine, doesn't even have a like. Not even Mr. Smith, not even the physics teacher at Constance, Mr. Smith, was giving her a courtesy like.
That's embarrassing.
The teachers are all, they're all still together in a pack lamenting this. Wendy asks if anyone under 30 is even on Twitter anymore. Ouch. That was really, that hurt. The gay teacher, Rafa, tells her she should delete. And Wendy, whose idea this was, says, give you the first line that made me laugh. And this was the line I think that made me say what more than any other line. Wendy says retaliation never works. Ask my ex-wives. I'm not a lesbian. What? She says ask my ex-wives. I'm like, oh, another gay teacher. And then she's like, I'm not a lesbian. So what did you do
to your ex-wives?
You have ex-wives? Or are you joking?
You retaliated because you're straight? I don't understand.
That line made no sense. No one expounds upon it. It was just
a hat on a hat, but the other hat on top like negated the original line.
Yeah,
somehow.
It was bad. So it was Mean bad. Girls. The Mean Girls pass the teachers. Luna goes trio of sad incoming, and Monet follows up with which one of them should I get fired next? I would be terrified of these girls as a teacher. Keller is pissed. She turns around and confronts them, and Monet tells her, "I wasn't talking to you." About you, maybe, but that depends on your behavior. And she is fuming. She calls for a teacher meeting at her house tonight.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Back to Zoya's house. Zoya's like, all right, fine, Dad. I saw her once from across the courtyard, but that was it. Her dad did not even ask about Julian, and she sung like a canary. Zoya tells her dad about all the great new people she met, and one of them invited her to get gelato tonight.
Ooh, wow.
But her dad shuts this down because it is a school night. I know she's lying, but this man won't even let her get gelatos on a school night.
Come on.
Right away, I'm so anti. I was like, fuck him. And she raises a good point. He says, if she says no to the first invitation, who knows if she'll get more. And she ends up being allowed to go, but she has to be back at 9 to prove she's trustworthy. So she'll take that for now. And good for Nick, I guess, for actually changing his mind and letting her go. Rufus would never.
No, he would never. But yeah, she says, she's like, I live in New York City now. Can I go get fucking gelato down the block?
I can get fucking gelato. Yeah, New York 7 is a Buffalo 4 p.m., apparently.
It's true. Can confirm.
Yeah.
Time zone.
Zoya and...
Different.
Time zones, yeah, exactly. Buffalo is that far west of New York. Zoya and Julian exchange messages, and Julian instructs her to check with her doorman. So Zoya goes to the doorman. She, for some reason, has to lie and say that, because she goes to say, yeah, we just moved here. And then she catches herself and goes, we just moved here. I mean, we're staying with my grandma. I don't know.
What was that about either? That doesn't come back.
I don't know. But there is a package for her. She's very happy. We cut to the teacher's meeting.
I wonder if it's like, apparently a rent-controlled apartment or something.
Maybe. I don't know.
So it has to be.
Are we supposed to know
this? But why is that? I shouldn't be worrying about that. I shouldn't be worrying about how they're paying for this place.
Yes. All right. So the teacher's meeting. Apparently, Twitter is for losers, so they have to use Instagram. Mm-hmm. I fear he's unfortunately correct. Everyone's on Instagram, not Twitter. They also need.
This is
they
before
also
it was
to work
getting
on
really bad.
Well, yeah, this was before the Elon Musk era, yeah. So now they definitely should just stay off Twitter. Yeah, yeah. They also need to work on Gossip Girl's voice. Keller thinks she can write in that style. They also have to tag the popular kids so they are aware that Gossip Girl is back. Gossip Girl, they say, would have been nothing without Blair versus Serena. Their rivalry launched her. And, you know, we get more references to the old characters. They need their own rivalry to relaunch Gossip Girl. They need to use someone that everyone will care about. Julian's famous, and people actually like her, but Wendy points out she has no rival. That doesn't matter because Gossip Girl's perception is reality, so they're going to create a rivalry. And Wendy brings up Julian's sister. So these assholes are going to force a rivalry between newfound sisters. I mean, I get they want to save their jobs, but they suck so much.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
If this is what you have to do as a teacher, you should be working somewhere else. Just go get a different job.
Yeah, literally. For sure. Wendy reveals how Zoya got into the school, and Keller is ready to use that. The old Gossip Girl knew how to tease things out. She got their attention first and then went in for the kill. So they do the same. They wait on this a little bit. They're going to take their power back, keep their jobs, and save the future.
Our heroes.
Our heroes. Just gross. Wendy needs Kate's Gossip Girl voice to be better than her real voice. For real. Glassberg wants to do it. So does the nameless female teacher. So here we go. Again, big difference here. No mystery around who Gossip Girl is. We find out literally in the first episode. I do hate that it's teachers, as we mentioned. And you mentioned you felt the same, right? This is bad.
Yeah, it's atrocious. Don't want to. I don't. It's more about not wanting to spend this much time with these characters too.
So they are, by virtue of being Gossip Girl, they're now a main part of the show that we have to keep tabs on. Right. Unfortunately,
like you've said in the previous series, just like let Gossip Girl just be like the narrator and nothing else.
Yeah, thank you. That's all. Thank we you need. For remembering that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Here are some clicks, and then the Gossip Girl title card finally shows up with Ariana Grande's Positions playing in the background. Kind of cool. I did like when the Gossip Girl title card finally showed up. Mm-hmm. There was a whole section in IMDb called Crazy Credits. And the thing says that there is, it was so crazy, crazy credits. The title doesn't appear until around the 20-minute mark. And it was very crazy late credits. for the title of the show, but that was crazy credits.
I guess like a lot of setup for us to get to Gossip Girl actually being a thing.
Yeah.
And that then it felt like it was appropriate to like drop the Gossip Girl title sequence.
Right. And more importantly, Kristen Bell's voice is back. And
that was
I
got
chills
here.
Hello, followers. Gossip Girl here. Your one and only source for the truth behind the scandalous lies of New York's elite. In a minute, did you miss me? I know I've missed you. Pretty epic. Monet and Luna see that they've been tagged in a post. Kristen Bell continues, "Oh, you're probably going to wish I'd stayed away when I'm done, because I can see you. Not the you you've oh so carefully curated. The real you. The one hiding just outside the edge of frame. All the other populars are getting tagged as well. Well, it's time to reframe that picture. You've gotten away with everything a little too long. Now that I'm back, I'm going to feature your finstas, surface those subtweets, and crack your caches. You can't hide from me. Never could. And to prove it, there's a big secret amongst the ruling class at Constance Billard. And as you'll soon come to know, no good secret goes unpublished. We see Zoya opening her package, and we finish. Watch this space. Or don't. You'll hear about it soon enough either way. Till then, XOXO, Gossip Girl. And we're back! We are back!
Like that one little Kristen Bell monologue just makes you feel like, oh, this could have been good. That would have been fun.
Yeah, it would have been funny if everyone just assumed it was Dan Humphrey again. Like, what the fuck? Dan?
I think that would have been fun maybe. Didn't if it was like some old weirdo that was still keeping tabs on these people. I guess, but it is.
Dan, that is Dan.
It's a bunch
of
old weirdos.
It's a bunch of old weirdos.
But I don't want to know who it is. I want it to be like at least a mystery again. I don't know. You're right. There's some element of like not knowing who it is that keeps it at least like the shroud of mystery.
Right. It's not like you're not like trying to figure out who it is, but the fact that you don't know who it is.
The fact that it could be
like,
anybody is more fun.
Makes it, yes, exactly. We arrive at, I guess, our event of the week here. The girls are not at all impressed about Gossip Girl. One of them says, it's the 21st century. At least call yourself Gossip Woman. That branding is terrible. Gossip Girl is alliteration. Like, what?
I thought they were going to make like more of a community joke and say Gossip Person. Like, go gender neutral.
Yes. Max thinks it's just a regional tween trying to boost their TikTok. All the members of the Samurai 7 have seemingly blocked the new Gossip Girl account. Ubi enters an elevator with Zoya. He doesn't recognize her at all. And this is, I guess, where the Dan-Jenny comparison falls apart a little, because there's definitely attraction here, but these two are not brother-sister in this show. And
right.
As a reminder, we are very pro-step-sibling relationships,
but not
regular sibling relationships.
No.
Or half-sibling. No Julian and Zoya either. No half-sibling relationship. None. Okay. No, I don't care. Yeah. Fine. Brendan ripping up the ship posters he has hanging up in the background. So, Ubi tells her with the new dress, she looks like Julian, which is a weird thing to say whether you're dating Julian or not. Like, I wouldn't want to like have some big compliment be like, you look like someone else at this school who is better than you. Okay.
Yeah. So, I guess like whenever Nicole wears hand-me-downs from her sister, I don't say, you look like Caitlin. Maybe
you
I should start.
Like that, yeah. And you lick your lips while you're saying it. You look like Mrs. Met.
With that baseball hat on you got from Caitlin.
Audrey thinks it's natural for Julian to be so accepting of her new sister. It's why everyone has a parasocial relationship with Julian. They think they know her and are entitled to her life, but they aren't. Julian pushes back that Zoya is not some crazy stalker, Audge. Hate the nickname Audge.
And you wouldn't have to fight this narrative if you just told everyone, like, hey, I got my sister into the school and I'm excited to see
her. Yes. Yes, they all think she's a crazy stalker because right. You are just saying, like, we've been talking for 2 years.
Right.
And planned for her to go to the school. I don't understand why Julian and Zoya can't just be upfront about liking each other. Like she just be like, no, yeah, I like her. She's part of our group now. Like, it's, I mean, like,
if you just cut this part out of the show and we can maybe have a normal length episode, it's unnecessary.
Let's not get crazy now. Yeah. So, Audrey is skeptical of the coincidence of Zoya showing up at Julian's school with Julian's friend group and entering with Julian's boyfriend as Zoya and Obi exit the elevator. Obi also brought Zoya a lovely pin to match his, and Zoya loves it, of course. Julian agrees that Obi only has to stay an hour, and then she'll go to whatever rally he wants to go to next time. Obi hates this place, so it seems like he and Zoya are going to have some things in common. They got the volunteering, the protesting, the hating, the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be somewhat of a good match here.
Mm-hmm. Although, like, I feel like he's being a little bit stuck up about this bar. This is like the famous cool bar.
Yes.
And it is like, it looks awesome. Come on.
It looks a little cool.
Yeah.
Audrey compliments Zoya on her nice hand-me-down. Nice guy Aki calls her out, but Audrey's just like, what? It's clearly not her. It's a fact. I'm speaking factually. I do like her bitchy reading of that line. Mm-hmm. That was nice. Julian admits it's a gift from her, the first of many to make up for the ones they never got to give each other. Julian gives little freshman Zoya a drink, and she does look uncomfortable, but Julian sets her at ease. She doesn't have to drink. They don't peer pressure. It's a very, you know, forward-thinking group of populars. They don't peer pressure each other.
Who is it? Maki that doesn't drink, he said?
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. I guess that makes more sense because Aki goes, yeah, I don't. Aki. And I thought, because he says it after Julian says, we don't peer pressure. I thought he was just like echoing that and be like, yeah, I don't peer pressure.
Oh, no, yeah. I think he meant like, I don't drink. So
Because I was like, wow, Aki really wants to make it clear that
I sure don't. Like, is this foreshadowing for when he peer pressures her later on?
I've never peer pressured anyone. Oh, okay.
It felt like another like weird diversity thing they're trying to do is like, oh, we have a
sober people.
Sober person.
Straight edge.
Okay. But and that's fine. Like, but that feels like they're pushing their diverse agenda.
Yeah, I'm fine with the sober agenda, but why do they have to push it down my throat? That's why.
That's right. That's what I say. It's like I'm grouping it with like the COVID mentions and stuff like that.
Yes.
Like, look
yes.
How like we're hitting every single mark that we need to in order to be a 2021 show.
Yes, he says I don't drink, and also I hate Brett Kavanaugh. Julian's going to tell Zoya everything she needs to know to fit in at Constance. We find out that St. Jude's used to be its own building, but now it's not, even though the boys still act like it is. The only place they mix is out front or the courtyard. They all go over what various social media sites are used for. I'd be pissed off no one's using Twitter anymore, but no one really seems to care. Luna's very turned off when Zoya asks about YouTube. She's like, YouTube? Are you fucking kidding me? This is when we find out that apparently they do have uniforms, but they're allowed to personalize them. This was another insane line. It makes them unique, and it's a middle finger to the matriarchy who are holding up what the patriarchy put in place. Are they trying to sound like just like a parody of? It's so bad. Like, this is such a bad
line. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it sounded like a line from like a Beastie Boys song or something. I don't know.
They're so woke. They're calling out the matriarchy that keeps the patriarchy in place. It's like, what is happening here?
Tough.
Luna is very turned. Oh no, I said that. I have to say it again though. Luna's very turned off when Zoya asks about YouTube. gotta mention that again. They keep spouting rules at Zoya, and it's clearly a lot for her to handle. One thing that I heard is they use Lyft, never Uber. I have so much to learn. I've never used Lyft before. Only Uber.
I think I have used Lyft in the past. Like when Lyft was really up and coming, it was sometimes giving better prices than Uber. So I had both apps, and I would pick whichever one was better at the time.
Makes sense. I'm very brand loyal. I get one one bank and I just use it. But I'm surprised they use Lyft at all. We see Julian and Obi in a car being driven by someone before, but don't these guys have drivers? Like what?
Yeah, yeah. I also feel like Lyft has a reputation for being like the shittier service as well.
Yeah, is it just another thing where they're like, it's 2021, people use Lyfts now. Let's have these characters use Lyft.
That must be what it is, because I'm pretty sure Lyft is like you have worse cars. Like there's a higher standard for Ubers and Uber drivers and stuff.
Right. They should have their drive. Like it's very unbelievable to me that they would be using rideshare. Yes. So Zoya mentions that she takes the bus and everyone laughs at her. Julian tells Zoya she probably comes from a school where people got to know their teachers, but nobody does that here. They're never around long enough to develop a relationship with anyway.
Since you use the bus, you must get to know your teachers.
Oh, you're a busser? You probably come from one of those schools where teachers matter. Not here. Not here, babe. I just want to say, I think I could do it. I think I could be the one teacher that they all loved.
You think so?
I think I could do it. I think I could do it.
See, that's an interesting twist in the show is like them hitting the teachers and then one wins their heart.
Yeah, I think they wouldn't fire me. I think they wouldn't get me fired.
Okay. So what would you like? Would you like laugh when they poured coffee on your head? Like, oh, thanks, guys. Coffee shower
that's
in the
good.
Morning.
That's
gotta love it.
Oh, that's rich. You kids keep me.
I got those cool sneakers you guys are talking about.
I'd come in, I'd sit them down on the first day of school. Yes, I'd wear the cool sneakers, and then I'd do a little rap for them. My name is Mr. Gagan, and I'm here to...
And the matriarch is being held up by the patriarch.
Yeah, that would do it, I think. Zoya thinks they're all leaving private schools, the teachers. They're all leaving because the private school teachers, they get paid substantially less than the public school ones. Mm-hmm. The other girls didn't even know this. They're like, that explains so much. I don't know why, but Zoya thinks it's criminal how much they make, but the girls don't seem to care. They're making their little jokes, Julian included. This does not sit right with Obi, who sticks up for Miss Keller. He seems to like Miss Keller. Wait until he finds out what she's doing to them. maybe won't like her much anymore. Yeah. And Miss Keller actually interviewed Zoya for the scholarship, and she thought she was great. And so Julian's ready to add Zoya to the group text, and the others are not happy about this. They are very threatened by the arrival of this new girl, and it is showing.
Yeah, and again, all avoidable by Julian.
Olive oil?
All avoidable.
Oh. Yeah. Yes. Right.
Was this the Popeye podcast?
Yeah, I thought you were bringing olive oil into this. Oh, Popeye, oh, dear. I only know that impression from Joey Gladstone doing it on The Last. I do not know if she actually sounds like
that. Yeah, like the telephone version of the impression.
Yes, exactly. Do you think it would have went off well if Zoya did a Popeye impression?
Well,
if she just
absolutely.
Said, thanks for inviting me to the group text. And did a little arm thing.
Eats a real can of spinach in front of them.
Right, guys? Popeye. That's how I would win the students over as the cool teacher. When they poured coffee on me, I'd go, ah, gag, 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 gag. Goes great with some spinach.
Slug it down and punch them.
Punch them in the face. Yeah, they'd love me. Max, we mentioned the diversity here. Max is making out with a guy and a girl at the same time. Our bisexual king is here. He's also taking drugs, taking some ecstasy, which we know he loves his drugs.
He's every orifice of his is just like having fun.
Yes, yes, indeed. Audrey stops by, and Max laments that she's married and monogamous at age 16. Like you were saying, very similar to how Blair and Nate were at the start of the original. And much like Chuck and Blair, these two do seem to have some chemistry. And Chuck Bass, canonically bisexual, according to books. So
I mean, this guy could have easily been Chuck in the old show. Like, there's no reason that Chuck didn't start the show doing this instead of what he did do in episode one.
Right. Much more likable version of Chuck in the first episode here. Yeah, definite improvement here. And I do like Max. I think he is one of the standout characters that could be a lot of fun. You didn't mention Max at all. You feeling similarly?
I think I'm with you. I think I don't like that he shares the name of the streaming service that he's on. It's a little cheesy.
Yeah,
a little corny.
Much product placement. Yeah. His original name was going to be HBO, but they thought that would be... Obi's original name was actually going to be HBOB.
We got two fingers.
How would that... Thank you. How would that be for a reveal if they're like, what's Obi short for anyway? They're like, oh, HBOB.
My parents love Sopranos.
Audrey tells Max to stop straight shaming. In the universe of the show, people get shamed for being straight now. Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Straight pride, baby.
It's like when you ask your parents, like, no fair, you guys get Mother's and Father's Day. When's Kids Day? Like, every day is Kids Day. Yeah. Every day is straight day. That's my mom. Bullshit.
Every day is straight day, Audrey.
Bullshit.
Oh. If Charles gets a whole month, why don't straights get a month?
The question that everyone is asking. Max points out that something's different about Audrey and Ock as he moves closer to her and offers the drug that is in his mouth to her. Audrey is clearly flustered, but she doesn't take the bait, which good for her because there is something very alluring about Max.
Yeah, so if someone's giving me any kind of pill from their lips, I'm going to take it. You just have to.
Someone was very upset about this in the goof section on IMDb. They were like, that pill would have dissolved by now. We see him put it in his mouth. Then he makes out with two people. Then he has a drink. It would have dissolved. Then it's still a full size minutes later when he's talking to Audrey. Like, all right, relax. Maybe he popped another
one. He probably had one to himself that he was definitely going to ingest. And then this was just a kissing one that he wasn't going to have.
This was the kissing ecstasy, yes.
So relax, goofs.
Relax, goof. So... Audrey finds Aki. She has something to prove, so she takes him into a private room and starts to get it on with him. She starts moaning as Aki goes down on her. Not in the CW version, though. They were just pecking each other on the cheek. during this, she's looking at Max the entire time, and it seems like Aki notices. He keeps going.
Somehow. How would you notice that? How do you like feel the head tilt from down below?
Whoa, why is your head tilting while I'm down here? What's going on? And now all of a sudden, Audrey has no problem finishing.
Interesting.
Yes. So Gossip Girl tags them all in a post. She comments on the sudden emergence of Julian's sister as part of the gang. And everyone gets the message. Even though they were talking a big game about blocking Gossip Girl earlier, they all did get the blast.
So did they unblock? Or
I think they were lying. I don't think they actually blocked her. So everyone looks at their phones. Gossip Girl has some tea to spill. Everyone knows 15 years ago, Mama Marion dumped DJ Davis for a new life with Nick Nobody. Gossip Girl loves alliteration, and so do we.
That's true.
Yet, sadly, she passed before she could see her daughters reunited. Gossip Girl tells everyone that the fact that they never met before is a ruse. Zoya's entrance was signed, sealed, and deceitful. Turns out Zoya's scholarship was not granted. It was gifted. I understand that these teens are pieces of shit. These teachers are pieces of shit. And Zoya's innocent. Zoya did nothing to these teachers.
Right.
And now they are turning her against her sister for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really shitty. And we get to a point where the sisters are like, this is going to be fine, right? And it seems like they're going to overcome this. And that does not go that way. And I'm excited to hear why that happened, because I need your help putting these pieces together later on.
Yeah, maybe we can figure it out. Yeah, maybe we can piece this together, the two of us. Zoya confronts Julian about the blast, but Julian plays dumb. Of course she didn't buy Zoya's scholarship. And her explanation, she's like, my dad just gives a lot of money to the school, part of which funds the art scholarship, and he doesn't have time to read the app, so I make the calls. That is wild that she is making the calls on who gets the scholarships to this school. Yep, yep. That is so crazy. Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like this is the kind of school where like not a lot of people have to apply for a scholarship for anything.
Yeah, probably.
So it's
not.
Like this poor girl applied to the school and got a scholarship. Okay, cool. The one person that wanted it got it.
Exactly. So Julian also knew she'd be deciding when she told Zoya to apply for it. And noble Zoya asks if someone else deserved it more than her. But Julian can't even fathom why she would think that. Why do you think someone would deserve it more than you? I do think there's a lot of Serena in Julian.
There really is. Yeah.
That it's such a Serena.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you can't even like, what do you mean someone deserved it more?
And why would
you
even care about anybody else?
So
I mean, Zoya does seem like a very good student. I think she
deserves
it.
She does. I agree. She deserves a scholarship.
Okay,
now,
good.
As Papa Nick Pops points out, now we'll never know. What was she going to do? Like, there was no way. If Julian is the one giving out scholarships, I mean, unless Zoya just never would have talked to Julian to begin with, but that. No.
Right. I guess if she was really looking through those, she would have seen her sister's name pop up. Like, oh.
Right.
But maybe she wouldn't have been looking that intently either. Obviously, she doesn't care too much about the scholarship, so she probably was only looking because she knew her sister was applying.
Right. The minions are taken aback that the sisters already know each other. One of them asks, on purpose? Julian's getting defensive now. Audrey's pissed that Julian lied because they don't lie to each other. And Julian's like, yeah, but if our dads knew, they would have never let Zoya move here. Which one of the dads does know. And that's the only one that had to know for them to move. And they did. I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. And Obi is like, oh, they may have already found out. But apparently neither of their dads use Instagram much, so they should be good. Audrey's like, yeah, we're not your dads, though. And Julian's like, yeah, but I wanted to make sure. And then Zoya sees what's going on. She's like, oh, you wanted to make sure that you liked me before letting me into the group. Which I guess maybe that's an explanation.
Okay.
She didn't do much vetting when she got there. She just said nice shoes. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so, they pretty much immediately they were like jumping up and down and hugging each other the second they got to talk.
Yeah. So Zoya doesn't want to lose her place here, and she can't stay without the scholarship, so she needs Julian to make this make sense. And Julian says that the students work in the office and that one of them is clearly trying to fuck with her, but it doesn't matter. I feel like I would immediately be skeptical of the teachers, but I guess I do have all the information as a watcher, so maybe that is unfair. But
yeah,
if I'm like, yeah, who would know that how I got how the scholarship worked? Like, I feel like it has to be a staff member. But
yeah,
I guess they
don't think anything of the teachers, and they think they're all just like a bunch of dummies.
Right. They're all idiots, so they couldn't be them.
Teachers don't register for them at all as people.
Well, the teachers are going to have to register for the sex offender list, I think.
Pretty soon.
The sex offender registry pretty soon.
I'll forward them the papers.
Yes. Oh, you have them handy?
Yeah.
Julian asks her gang if any of them care, but they're all quiet. Obi gets up to go, but Julian reminds him he said he'd do the story first. Always just thinking of the story first. Like, I know something big just happened and this is uncomfortable, but you gotta do my story, babe. So Monet solemnly takes a picture of them. No one even, like, smiles. And Obi leaves with, I told me. The boy is hurt. And Julian knows that she has fucked up. Especially when Zoya walks out with Obi.
Yeah. It's a couple that's seemingly drifting apart, and then she's sending her boyfriend off with the new girl. And the new girl always has some, like, alluring qualities.
Right.
Any new person at a school. It's like, oh.
Yes.
An air of mystery.
Yeah. Now, I know it's hard to believe, but we are just about at the halfway point of the episode.
Very good.
We're about an hour and 20 minutes in. Should we break and pick up on a part two for this?
I guess so, yeah, because we still would have to do segments and Lonely Boys Theater.
Yeah, this may be looking at a 2.5 hour episode if we continue. I promise, I already made Brendan this problem, but I'm also going to extend this promise to the listeners, Matt Ligori included, that I am going to, now that I know how long these episodes are, I'm going to make sure the notes are more brief. We're going to breeze through these episodes. They're not all going to be this long, but since it's the first episode, we did this with the original, we can split this up into two parts, and everyone will be very invested into what happens in the second half of this episode when
we come
back.
At this point, the people are probably worried that we put out short episodes now, because I think the last one's like an hour and a half. This is going to be like an hour and a half. I'm like,
true,
these guys are fucking slacking.
Be like, what's going on? Ligori's going to be embracing, but other people might be like, what's happening?
I mean, when we cover episode 2 of the show, it's going to be over 2 hours.
it's going to be tough to try to keep it under 2 hours, but we will try. We will definitely try. So yeah, we have no segments to get into right now because we'll save that all for next time. So I guess we could just jump into Brendan. What are you plugging?
Wow. It really feels weird to do this without doing theater or anything like that. I feel like it's not going to be that long for the reason that I don't like have anything to say about these characters. It's also new and fresh that there's not a lot of meat on the bone for me. I kind of remember this feeling early on in our series run of OG Gossip Girl. Like, I started to feel more into the conversation as I, like, had more attachment to the characters.
Right. It is tough when everything's getting thrown at you all at once at first.
I feel like the Zoya right now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you are.
Being
told
all the rules.
Nice shoes.
Thanks. I am podcasting with my feet up. I am going to plug Blitzball Battle 5, our coverage of that tournament of Warehouse Games. It will be up on YouTube and podcasts, wherever you find those. Look up Blitzball Boys on YouTube. And it's going to be, I think, like a 16-game tournament, so we're going to be doing 16 episodes of that, and then I guess award shows at the end of that. So I think episodes will be Tuesdays, Thursdays, and maybe Saturday mornings. We'll have 3 episodes a week. It's busy, busy,
busy.
Whoa! Yeah. So check those out. I think we're also going to keep those kind of short. We're trying to keep that shit to like a half hour. That was the original idea for that show. It just gets longer and longer, and then episodes were end up like, I guess for Gossip Girl, our 2 hour long episodes were more than double the length of the episode. So we ended up doubling. I think doubling is like a normal amount of time to, like, because you get some banter in there, you get some jokes, you get the coverage.
I was, you know, Office Ladies famously just wrapped up, the Office coverage, and finale part two was 2 hours long, and that's of a half hour of television. So I mean, it was the finale, so they had a lot to discuss, but.
Yeah, he wants to keep it to a half hour this season. I don't think that's going to be possible, but we're going to try and keep it brief. And if you can believe it, this very Friday. So I guess by the time this comes out, you'll have to about a week to wait. But the recording of the 100th episode is scheduled for this Friday.
Yeah, when? Charles month?
For this Friday, in the middle of... what Heritage Month is this? Is this the Spanish Heritage Month?
Oh, that was mid-September to mid-October, I believe.
Oh, okay. So is this Brendan Month again?
Is this...
are we somewhere?
No, Brendan Month lined up with...
it was the same. I wasn't sure if they were back-to-back. Okay.
Is this Asian and Pacific Island Heritage Month?
Okay, so that's what we were aiming to do for the 100th episode, is to record it during Asian Heritage Month. So I'm glad we're right in that window here.
okay.
That's what we were waiting for. So, but get pumped. It's going to be exciting to finally hear this this episode.
You know, Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month is May.
Okay. I guess you're going to wait till May for the 100th episode then.
I don't think I can Google what month is it, because it'll probably still be November.
What month is it? And in what month?
That was good. Oh, boy. For me, what am I? Too late to tell people to vote. That ship has sailed.
Too late to apologize.
Unless you want to do some illegal votes, huh?
Now we're talking.
I don't want to get arrested. I should probably.
Do you have like legal ballots in the back of your house?
That's the last thing. Yeah, just suggesting it. I feel like someone's going to get sent to my door. Sure. This podcast is pretty famous. I feel like a lot of people.
And people
are
just like
it.
To walk through your door anyway.
That is true. Famously, yes.
Yeah.
And I don't lock my door, so I'm one come all.
You plugging your front door?
I'm plugging my front door, okay. Yes. I watched a couple of good movies recently. Hitman on Netflix, starring Glenn Powell. It was very fun. He's a college professor that works with the police. He pretends to be a hitman to entrap people into... paying him money to kill someone, and then they like arrest people, but then he falls for one of them.
Oh,
the girl that's trying
boy.
To kill her abusive husband. It's very good. It's very funny. He's it was very good acting, because for each person that he like tricks. He has like a different disguise that he's acting in, so he has to play a lot of different parts.
Okay,
great star turn for Glenn Powell. And then on HBO B Max, I watched the movie Am I Okay, starring the recently mentioned Dakota Johnson that we were just talking about last week, not on the podcast.
And is she okay?
I think so. I think she's going to be okay. No spoilers. I don't want to spoil if she's okay or not. But that was also a very good movie. Two movies that I loved immediately. So
two groovy movies.
Two groovy movies. I also finally, with this newfound free time I have, I finally finished How I Met Your Father.
And, wow.
Yeah. It's not a great show, but like I wish it.
I watched like maybe 5 episodes of that. I didn't hate it.
It's good enough. It was good enough that I enjoyed watching it.
By the way, when you review movies, do you give them? Do you rank them out of two groovies?
Yeah.
I give this movie two groovies.
Yeah, that's usually.
I'd love to watch a YouTube channel of you doing that.
Yeah, that's usually how it works. And then I guess you can follow me on Twitter at MattyFresh24, and you can follow Brendan at RuppyPuppy, and you can follow his other podcast, The Hoppy Boys, at The Hoppy Boys Pod, and you can come back next week where we'll be breaking down the second half of this episode, the On the MTA section of The Girl on MTA. Until then, I know you love us. XOXO. Lonely Boy.
Bye-bye. Whoop, 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 whoop.